This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. What a stunning day of racing it was at Flemington yesterday. It heralded the opening of the new stand, and in front of a huge crowd in perfect spring sunshine, Wink shone again, winning the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes in what was a hard-fought effort. For a few strides, the Australian public took a deep breath and wondered whether the day had come where she would taste her first defeat in a long, long time. But in her customary style, she dug deep and went away for what was regarded as one of her better wins. 28 in a row now, and she's ready to go on and create another chapter in racing history in the Cox Plate in a few weeks' time. Congratulations to the VRC for putting on a world-class race day and celebrating the mare in the most appropriate way. A bit different to what we saw in Sydney at her last run. And what about all the carry-on mare this week with Alan Jones? And his episode, demands placed on the New South Wales Government and Sydney Opera House to promote the Everest on the iconic building and use it as a billboard to cover the barrier draw for the world's richest turf race. The interview, if you haven't already heard it, is so bizarre it's almost comical. And through it all, Racing New South Wales got what they wanted. I wonder if it'll all be worth the fight and the promotion will actually help drag a few extra people through the gate next weekend. Time will tell. Now, on this week's show, we catch up with Sam Fairgrey from Yulong. They're having great success with their horses on racetracks at the moment and have one of the top fancies for the Caulfield Cup. We'll also talk to Phil Marshall from Sun Stud. They announced the retirement of Statue of Liberty this week. But first up, we're going to catch up with Brad Spicer, who's found himself a very nice horse in Extra Brute.
At the 500 metres, by about a length and a half, Sikorsky Louie the Legend. They were followed by on the outside, running on here is Power of Attorney, Extra Brute. Piero Pan back to the inside, Research running on. Savoir as they reach the 300 metres in front. Off Sikorsky the outside, then Louie the Legend, Extra Brute down the middle of the track. It's Sikorsky at the 150 and Savoir, Extra Brute right down the middle, is thumping home now. Sikorsky, Extra Brute! Extra Brute over the top takes the lead, and Extra Brute won it by a length and a quarter. Sikorsky and Savoir, followed by Louis the Legend, exclusively ours and Savio.
One of the most impressive winners anywhere in Australia yesterday was the three-year-old Doomsday colt Extra Brute. He's with the Brad Spicer Syndications Group, and Brad joins us all the way from the UK on the program this morning. How are you, Brad?
Yeah, morning, Joe. It's 10 o'clock over here at the moment and just got off the plane, so looking forward to getting out of the sales and having a look at the horses. So just something different that we're trying this year.
Yeah. We'll get onto that in a moment. But firstly, Brad, you must have been so impressed with your colt winning at Flemington yesterday.
Yeah, he was really impressive. He's just from that gate, I just thought he might struggle a little bit to overhaul them late. But obviously Johnny Allen knows the horse really well. Timed his run to perfection. And look, he seems to really knuckle down when he sees the winning post, because I thought he was going to run a nice second or third, but in that last 50 metres, he really knuckled down and sort of put him to bay pretty easily. And what I liked about it, he was really strong through the line, and obviously we're probably thinking more about the Derby with him than the Guinea, so it's nice to see those horses hit the line and run right through it. So it gives you great confidence he can get the 2,500, because it's a big ask in the first preparation of a horse to go to the 2,500. We see it year in, year out, a lot of those horses sort of have a pretty big attrition rate out of the Derby. So, I'm sure if Darren thinks that he's not up to it, or he's not coping mentally or physically, I'm sure he'll put him away, because he's a nice horse for the future.
He is, and you only unleashed him back in August in a maiden at Geelong, where he was defeated. But since then, he's now gone on to win three consecutive races. He looks an outstanding horse for the longer term.
Yeah, it's amazing what confidence does for a horse. I think, Darren's always got the right method in placing these horses right in the country first and then bringing them through the city. And he just keeps, every time he goes to the race, he just keeps, raising the bar. So hopefully he can keep continuing on to the Derby. It's always been a dream of mine to win a Derby. It's always been one of the bucket list races. And the billionaire ran fourth in the Derby 2012. There's a bit shin sore too going to the Derby, so we sort of had to nurse him through, and it was a bit unlucky in the end, but it's nice to have a live chance this year.
Okay, the horse as a type, he's a cracker. He's a beautiful actioned horse as well, Brad.
Yeah, he's got that real smooth action, and what I like, he gets his head down and he really tries and puts his ears back. He's a horse we sourced from the classic sale, Joe. Bought it from Grange Thoroughbreds there, Gary Mudgeway, and we think we paid about 100K for him at that sale. And Jeremy Rogers was working for Darren Weir at the time and kind of straight up after the sale and said that Darren would love to train the horse. So didn't have a trainer in mind at that stage, and it was pretty much a coincidence that Jeremy came up and thought, well, you know, what better trainer than Darren? He loves his staying type of horses. And he did look like a big leggy sort of a colt at that stage too, that, you know, he definitely looked like a colt that would want a trip.
And Brad, you're in England at the moment for the sales. What are the plans there?
Look, we've got a couple of clients that want to buy some staying yearlings from over here. Obviously, you know, we've seen Furion and 50 Stars come out and get the job done in Australia for Darren just recently. So we're just going to try something different and try and find some nice stamina over here and bring them back to Australia. And obviously, they're going to be 6 months behind all our other horses over there. But, you know, if we can get them going towards an autumn three-year-old campaign and just take them along nice and slow, and hopefully, you know, we can put them towards some nice, you know, cups and classic stellar races.
Now, are there many other Australians there at the moment?
Yeah, I just ran into Brian Carlson from Emirates. He was just on the way out to the sale to look at some horses. So Paul Moroney's always over here. There's always a pretty strong contingent of Australians. It's, you know, obviously the equivalent of our Easter sale. So it's pretty strong and competitive. I think all the shakes are here. So I'm just hoping to get a bone there down towards the bottom end of the market, Joe.
Well, they've become increasingly competitive, haven't they, those sales over the past few years, particularly with the number of Australians that are heading there in the hope that they may find a cup horse.
Yeah, that's it. And I think, you know, we're trying to find those sort of backward yearlings that are going to take a bit of time. And I think if you shop down at the bottom end, you can actually find a bit of value over here. So that's the theory. Now we're going to put it into practice. So we've got to tell in about 3 years' time if it's going to work or not, Joe.
And you've got to hit the ground running, don't you? Gee whiz, a long-haul flight and then straight out to Newmarket.
Yeah, so I flew in last night and so straight through, and probably won't sleep for 36 hours. So we'll get out to the sales today and just have a look at a, you know, probably just a half day today. And the sale kicks off on the night, and I'll fly back in. I think I arrive back in on Guineas Eve, so just in time to get to the Caulfield Guineas.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, Extra Brute looks like a really exciting prospect for you, Brad, and we wish you all the best of luck trying to win your first Victoria Derby.
Thanks very much, Joe. Really looking forward to it.
All right. That's Brad Spicer. Their colt by Doomsday, Extra Brute, looks a real star in the making. Follow his progress towards the Derby at Flemington next month.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses racing run-through.
We opened the batting at Flemington yesterday with the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes, a listed race over 1,000 metres. It was won by the two-year-old colt Unite and Conquer. He's by Hinchinbrook out of a Magnus Mare Maglissa and was sold for $80,000 at this year's Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. Race 2 was the Antler Luggage Stakes at listed level over 1,400 metres, won by Team Hawk's Wild Planet, a three-year-old gelding by Animal Kingdom out of a Redoute's Choice Mare Salutations. Wild Planet was sold through the 2017 English Australian Easter yearling sales, Session 2, for $280,000. Race 3 on the program, the Paris Lane Stakes, a listed race over 1,400 metres, won by Kurt Goldman's Eckstein, a five-year-old mare by I Am Invincible, out of a Schwarzier mare, Comrie. His horse went through the Australian Broodmare and Weanling sales for $50,000 back in 2014, and then was sold through the yearling sales on the Gold Coast in 2015, for $165,000. A nice pinhook job there. Race 4, the UCI Stakes, a listed race over 1,800 metres, and wasn't he impressive, Extra Brute, earning himself favouritism now for the Victoria Derby. He's a three-year-old colt by Doomsday out of a Redoute's Choice mare, Dom Perignon, and is a relation to a winner, Phil the Flute. He sold this horse through the 2017 Inglis Classic yearling sales for $100,000. Race 5, the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes over 2,000 metres, won by Winx. A 7-year-old mare, of course, we've heard this story many times. She's a daughter of Street Cry out of an Al Akbar mare, Vegas Showgirl, and they paid $230,000 for Winx back in 2013 at the Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. Race 6, the Gilguy Stakes over 1,200 metres at Group 2. And David Pfeiffer's mare, I Am Excited Successful. She's a daughter of Snitzel, out of a General Nadia mare, Lady Beckworth, and is related to winners Flippant and Lord Beckworth. The seventh event on the card, the Bart Cummings over 2,500 metres, a Group 3, won by Avilius from the Godolphin team. He's a 5-year-old gelding by Pivotal, out of a Sunday Silence mare, Alessandria. The Edward Manifold Stakes over the mile at Group 2, won by Amphitrite, which was a horse to follow recently on Talking Horses. Hope you had something on it. She's a 3-year-old filly by Sebring, trained by Darren Weir, out of a Redoute's Choice mare, Ocean Dream. She looks very smart. She's related to winners French Blue and Lucala, and was a $50,000 Magic Millions Adelaide yearling sales purchase in 2017, sold by Golden Farms. And Race 9, the Blazer Stakes at Group 2, over 1,400 metres, won impressively by Invincibella, a 5-year-old mare by I Am Invincible, out of a Galileo mare, Abscond, and is a relation to a winner, Secret Blaze. Invincibella was sold for $185,000 at the 2015 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. It was an outstanding day of racing at Flemington yesterday, some superb memories there. And we had some excellent racing at Randwick yesterday, including the Roman Consul Stakes at Group 2 over 1,200 metres, won by Stephen O'Day's colt Cesar. He's by Sebring, out of a Street Cry mare, Sarthamere, and that brought up a winning double for the stable in Sydney yesterday. Cesar is related to a winner, Doubt Define, and was sold for $160,000 at the 2017 Inglis Australian Easter yearling sales. The Group 1 feature at Randwick was the Spring Champion over 2,000 metres, won by Mark Newnham's filly, Made of Heaven. She's a daughter of Smart Missile, who's in form at the moment, out of a De Heer mare, St. Therese, and is related to winners Game of Fun, Mira Salo and Raquia, and was a $60,000 purchase at the 2017 Inglis Classic yearling sale. Race 8 at Group 3 was the Yank Stakes over the mile, won by Chris Waller's mare, I Am Serious. She's by Schwa Seer, out of a B and Coney mare, But I'm Serious, and is related to winners Lenazam, Plot the Course, and Santa Fe Sun. Many of you would have noticed that the Yulong colours have been very prominent in the winner's circle on racetracks around Australia of late. Sam Fairgrey from Yulong joining us on the program this morning. How are you, Sam?
Morning, Joe. Good. Thank you very much. Really exciting time for Yulong.
Yeah, last weekend you had a very nice winner in Sydney, a filly by I Am Invincible called Catch Me, winning the Jim Crack Stakes.
Yeah, she's a lovely filly, Joe. She is a filly that we purchased from the Inglis Easter yearling sale for $625,000. She's the second foal of an O'Reilly mare, and she goes back to the family of 8 Carat. So, winning the Group 3 Jim Crack last weekend is really added to her value, and she's already now going to be one of our blue hens, but the way she won, it looks like there'll be exciting times ahead for Mr. Zhang.
She won in race record time, Sam. What are the plans now? Does she get put away for the autumn, or what are you likely to do with her from this point on?
Yeah, so she's in the spelling paddock now, she'll come back and be aimed for the races in the autumn, and with Peter and Paul Snowden, they'll decide when she comes back and how she's going, which direction she travels in. But there's lots of options. Obviously, the Blue Diamond. There's also the Inglis $2 million Millennium Race, and also the Golden Slipper. So they'll they know how to target horses for races. So we'll just leave it to them, and they'll steer her in the right direction.
And last Sunday in Melbourne, your horse Toes and Basil nearly caused an almighty upset.
Absolutely, very exciting. He's a horse that we own in partnership with Aussie Kahir, and He is a horse that we purchased from Japan to come down and aim at the Caulfield Melbourne Cup. So the distance last Sunday was probably short of his best. So it was a very nice surprise to see him running so well. So he'll have one more run before the Caulfield Cup and the Caulfield Stakes. And it's looking very exciting that he's heading into the Cups because he's equal favourite for them. So it's exciting times.
Not to be underestimated again, he was at odds of around 70 to 1 last weekend. Did you have something each way on him, Sam?
We had a little favour for a place because we thought Darren thought he'd been working extremely well and maybe running on well at the end of the race, but it was a great surprise to see at the top of the straight as he was about to challenge Holmesman sort of, and but he really dug in the straight and probably just the fitness the last little bit started to tell, but as I say, getting up over further ground, he's only going to improve, and he'll be very competitive in the Cup races.
And how's he recovered from the run?
He's come through it very well. Darren, obviously, with his training methods and the beach and so forth, for a horse like this coming from Japan, it's great to be able to mix up his work and keep him mentally fresh and so forth going forward. So, he's come through it well and heads to Caulfield next weekend.
So important, isn't it, for the Yulong brand, now so immersed, particularly in Victorian racing, where you're based predominantly, to have a horse like this flying the flag for you in a race like the Caulfield Cup?
Absolutely. Mr. Zhang is very passionate about his racing and breeding, and he wants to be able to race these horses in the high-level races and have that enjoyment. So to be able to have a horse like Tosin Basil heading for the Caulfield Melbourne Cups, and a young filly like Catch Me, just to win the first two-year-old fillies race of the year in Sydney was great. And he's also got a couple of other horses that are sort of long shot Cups horses, but they're two tried horses that he brought out of the Goss Championship sale, and they're both both ran last weekend. Harry Poor, he won the ANZAC Classic at Mornington, and he'll probably head to the Herbert Power, and also another horse, Sick and Darabad, who David Hayes has got, who ran third, beaten the head in the Metropolitan up in Sydney, and he'll probably stay up in Sydney, and there's a nice staying race on Everest weekend up there, so he'll stay and run in that. So it's going to be a big weekend for Mr. Zhang with the Everest. Obviously, we've got Red Zell as our slot for the Everest, and we'll also have Sick and Darabad running on the day.
What are the expectations of Red Zell, especially now based on his last performance?
He obviously missed that race, Joe, and he was a bit keen in his race there in the Premier on Saturday. So he will take a lot of benefit out of that race, and Peter and Paul Snowden have a knack of being able to fine-tune horses for specific targets, and that's what they'll be doing with him. And I don't mind the forecast at all to see that there's going to be rain in Sydney, because it's one thing that Red Zell does not mind is a wet track.
Only in its second year, the Everest has had quite an incredible build-up this year. It hasn't taken long for this concept to catch on in Australian racing, has it?
Absolutely. It's great exposure for our industry. And I'm sure the concept going forward is going to be here for a long time, and it creates great interest for people who are non-racing people that are starting to see the exposure it's getting, and gets them interested in the industry, and that's what it's all about, is bringing new people into our industry.
And will Mr. Zhang be out here for the Everest?
He sure will. He's coming with a group of his friends, so he'll be cheering loudly for Red Zell.
Certainly acquiring some high-quality racing and breeding stock now.
We are. We got about this year, and we purchased some very nice mares to add to the broodmare band. And at the moment, we're in the process of building a stallion facility. So hopefully in 2019, we'll have a couple of really nice stallions to stand at our property up at Ngambi. And a broodmare band now is up to sort of 130 mares, so we'll just keep on improving the quality, and hopefully if we can get some of the fillies that we've purchased coming through and winning some nice stakes races, we can add them to our broodmare band, and then obviously visit the stallions that would be standing.
Very important, isn't it, for Victorian breeding in general, that you should be expanding into the stallion business?
Absolutely. There's a lot of mares that travel from Victoria up to the Hunter Valley each year, and we want to be able to keep those mares, as do the breeders want to be able to keep them on their properties and use high-end commercial stallions here in Victoria. And that's what Mr. Zhang is aiming to do, is to build a world-class facility at Ngambi and offer breeders in Victoria and Australia the opportunity to go to some of the best bloodlines.
Mm. Sam, thanks for bringing us up to date with all things at Yulong. Congratulations on the success you've been having of late, and may it continue for the remainder of the spring, particularly the business end.
Good as gold, Jay. Thank you very much, and good punting, everybody.
That's Sam Fairgrey from Yulong. They're having much success at the moment. A filly to follow in the autumn next year, Catch Me. And, of course, they have Toes and Basil, now a prime contender for the Caulfield Cup.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Sentimentalist fights on hard from Exeter. Delusions is down the outside. They're followed next by Catch a Hero. Delusions is running on very strongly, though. She's raced to the lead, in fact, at the 100-metre mark. Exeter can't go with her. Then Sentimentalist, Carbonus charging home with Catch a Hero. But Delusions are really nice to do in the end. Won by 4 lengths.
We saw an impressive winner at Swan Hill on Tuesday, produced by the Darren Weir Stable, a filly by the name of Delusions. She kicked off her career with what was a commanding victory in a 1,200-metre maiden, steaming home out wide from back in the field to win by 4 lengths. She's by So You Think and was an $80,000 Inglis Easter purchase from the Eden Glassy draft for Forest Lodge Racing. Delusions is the second winner for Kisami Muchu, an unraced half-sister by Fastnet Rock, for stakes winners Fespinol and Essington. Of course, So You Think is now the sire of 4 Group 1 winners, and he stands at Coolmore for a fee of $44,000. Delusions, a filly to follow as she makes her way through the ranks. In Victorian breeding news this week, Statue of Liberty was retired to live out his days at Sun Stud headquarters at Kerry in the Macedon Ranges. Phil Marshall from Sun Stud joining us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Phil?
Very well, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So the sun has set on Statue of Liberty's stud career after 12 seasons in Australia.
Yeah, it has. Look, he wasn't getting any younger, and when he was stood in Queensland last season, he just showed us signs that he wasn't all in love with it anymore, and age was taking its toll, unfortunately. So he's living the life of absolute luxury at the moment.
He originally shuttled from Japan's East Stud and was back then considered, at the former Eliza Park, as Sun Stud was once known, a real boost to the Victorian stallion ranks.
Oh, definitely. He's been a wonderful stallion over a number of years, and we saw that he could do just about anything. I mean, he produced Palest, of course, who, if it hadn't have been for Black Caviar, would have been probably regarded as the best sprinter in the world at that time. And only a couple of years ago, he sired a Perth Cup winner in Star Exhibit, so he could do it at both ends of the spectrum. He was a remarkable stallion.
His first two crops, Phil, made every post a winner, as it's been described in media outlets this week, and some of those winners included the 2009 Magic Millions three-year-old trophy winner Tempest Tossed, group winner Dan Baroness, and the juvenile stakes winner Elises, and the multiple group-winning sprinter Micmac.
Yeah, look, those couple of years were just huge for Statue. He, like you say, all of those stakes winners. Tempest Tossed was a really, really good horse that unfortunately, never got any black type as such, not any standout black type, but look, was fourth in a Group One, a very, very, very tough racehorse, and like you say, Micmac was one of the toughest sprinters going around at the time, and that's what he tend to throw into his progeny, that toughness and will to win, and that's why all the trainers loved them.
And how can we forget probably his most famous sprinting son, Haylist?
Yeah, well, as I was saying before, I mean, if it wasn't for that certain mare called Black Caviar, we'd be saying Haylist was probably the best sprinter in the world at the time. he was an exceptional horse, and I mean, no one will ever forget that race in Sydney where he kicked for home, and everyone thought, oh, gee, you know, Black Caviar's beaten here, and she managed to run him down. But he was the only horse in Australia that ever put it up to her and ever got close, really.
Yeah, and he was amongst the top five leading first season sires in Australia in 2008-2009 and was in fact the leading sire in Victoria that racing season.
Yep, it's just a remarkable effort from a horse that he would have never covered stellar mares. He would have got fair mares, and that's probably the best he would have got. And he was just a massive upgrader of the mares that he had. He upgraded all the mares that he covered. He produced some fantastic racehorses, produced really good types. They sold well. And even to this day, he's getting really good horses. Tony Basil's got a horse, I believe, still unbeaten after two starts called Fifth Element. And he looks like a potential stakes performer going forward too. So he's still doing a fantastic job, really.
And has he got any progeny on the ground at the moment? What are some of his younger stock that we can expect to see continuing to race for the coming seasons with likely success?
Yeah, look, he's got a few numbers. Most of them in Queensland, of course, as he served his last couple of seasons up there. So, but he covered limited books due to his old age. We didn't overburden him the last couple of seasons. But there will be a handful of new progeny making it out over the next two seasons. And look, if he keeps producing that toughness like he did in his previous crops, then we're going to see winners from him for quite a number of years to come yet.
Yeah. And Phil, how old is he now?
He's a Northern Hemisphere 2000 model, so he's 18 in the Southern Hemisphere. And he still looks well, and he's still a picture of health. But unfortunately, I think a lot of the travel that he did as a young horse, you remember, he was purchased as a yearling in America. He raced in all around Europe and in America, and then he shuttled between Australia and Japan for a number of years. And I think that eventually just caught up with him. And fertility and libido, as all things do with these older stallions, became less and less, and yeah, the decision was made to retire him, and he's done a great job for us, and it's what he deserves.
It sure is. So he'll have a nice lush paddock there at Sunstud to see out his days?
Yeah, correct. He's got his paddock. He's got his old paddock back from when he was here a couple of years ago, so he's as happy as Larry and loving life. Plenty of grass, plenty of sunshine, and he's a very, very happy horse.
Oh, that's great news. And Phil, what else is making news at Sunstud at this busy time of the year?
Yeah, very busy. Very busy. The stallions are all flat out at the moment. We covered, with the 10 stallions here, we covered 23 mares the other day in the one day, which is one of the busiest days I've seen. We had a two-year-old up in the Breeders' Plate, which everyone would have seen, just got done on the line, which was a bit disappointing, but in the same for a homebred for us, very, very exciting. He's a very exciting horse going forward. So, no, everything's going really well at the moment.
Oh, good. All right, Phil, well, thanks for joining us on Talking Horses, and, yeah, all the best to Statue of Liberty. Give him a nice pat for us. Hope he has some happy days ahead.
I will do. Thanks very much, Joe.
That's Phil Marshall from Sunstud. They announced this week the retirement of Statue of Liberty from their ranks.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
In international racing, we're looking forward to the running of the time-honoured Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe at Longchamp. Ron Flatter is there covering all the action. Here he is with a preview.
Joe, greetings from the new Paris-Longchamp, where they spent more than 210 million Aussie dollars to tear down the old grandstand, which would be roughly where I'm standing now, in a relatively open area. They built an airy new one here at Longchamp. Oh, yeah, by the way, make that Paris Longchamp. That's the new name. But the race courses are as they were when we were here to see Golden Horn win 3 years ago in the last Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe before it moved for a couple of years to Chantilly. Golden Horn's rider and trainer that day are back with the favorite this year. Five-time ARC-winning rider Frankie Dettori and two-time ARC training victor John Gosden will try to win again with last year's ARC winner at Chantilly, Enable.
Frankie's gone for home at the 300, and she finds two lengths. Ulysses, Cloth of Stars, out of the pack in the blue colours, trying to hunt down Enable, who enters the final furlong, and he's showing no signs of wilting. Enable from Cloth of Stars, and Ulysses, Cement, and Tom Clark, Billy. Enable, the Queen of Europe, won the art from Cloth of Stars.
That was her emphatic win last year as a three-year-old at Chantilly. But a funny thing has happened to her since, and by funny I mean funny strange and not funny ha-ha. She developed fitness trouble that Gosden has never fully detailed. He's been very coy about it. So Enable's only race since was a hit out last month on the all-weather track at Kempton, England, against a boutique field of four. Well, she won it all right, but is that enough to warrant her being a $2.25 favorite here in Europe? In other words, is the Enable we saw last year that was in the debate with Winx to be the top horse in the world the same Enable that we will see at race time here at the ARC? Well, for his part, Gosden tells Racing Post Television that there is nothing to suggest that Enable is not ready to go this time around.
She's fine. She's been good since the race at Kempton, and we're happy with her. And she's just been cantering away. Would have cantered there except for the wet and the cold, and it's not a good idea to get a filly wet and cold and give her a chill. We've got a very sunny week next week. And we'll just build her up now for the ARC. We're happy with her progress, and she's well in herself. She goes there a fresh filly. I hope they get a little bit of rain. They seem to be missing a bit of this. I thought the ground there last Sunday was very fast, with the sand kicking up, which wouldn't be entirely her scene.
Oh, rain is in the forecast for race day. We'll talk about that later, but it will only make the course even more of what it already is. Good to soft, leaning more toward good. And not enough rain for Cracksman, by the way. Remember Cracksman? The four-year-old that had won five in a row, including a pair of Group 1s, was taken out of ARC consideration this week by Gosden, who wanted to see a proper softening rain before putting the Prince of Wales runner-up into the ARC. It's the second year in a row that this most highly regarded colt teased punters with a French dream. He will be aimed instead for a second consecutive victory in a fortnight's time at Ascot in the British Champion Stakes. Okay, so 17 of the last 22 winners of the ARC renewals, at least here at Longchamp, have jumped from one of the seven inside-most barriers, 1 through 7. Enable drew 6. Her most fancy challengers were drawn into the 7 outside barriers. Advantage Enable. But that is about all that is wrong with the form guide for the $5 second choice. Fitting the profile of the perfect ARC horse over the past decade, one that won her last hit out beforehand. Yep, her. Because fillies win more often than not in this race. Three-year-olds more often than not. Sea of Class ticks both of those boxes. Her sire, See the Stars, won the ARC impressively in his final race 9 years ago. She is 3, and that is why the Suey family, that was responsible for ARC wins with Urban Sea 25 years ago and See the Stars, paid more than $200,000 to supplement Sea of Class into this race worth $8 million. Big gamble? Consider this. The only two other times they've been in the ARC, they won the ARC. Her trainer, William Haggis, spoke to At the Races about the Double Oaks winner that has won her last four.
She's got obviously bigger fish to fry now, but she has a change of speed, and that is as crucial as anything in a horse race. My friend and rival up the Bury Road in Newmarket, he'd like lots and lots of rain. I'd like none at all.
James Doyle will ride Sea of Class in search of his first ARC victory. And even though she drew 15, count on this. She will trail the field before trying to close on it in the run home. You would figure that her connections will be looking for a handy pace up front. The most backed male in the race and the most fancied French horse is the four-year-old Waldgeist, one of three runners in the ARC for seven-time winning trainer André Fabre. That's a record, but Fab hasn't seen the winner's enclosure since 2006. Waldgeist has won his last four, including last month's Prix Foix, in which his stablemates Talismanic and Cloth of Stars finished second and third. You might say this is Fab's best chance in the last 12 years to pick up an ARC victory. Oh, by the way, those other horses, they sound familiar? Yeah, it's the same talismanic that won last year's Breeders' Cup turf at Del Mar near San Diego. The same cloth of stars that finished second in last year's Arc at Chantilly behind Enable. The Foix was an underrated prep that stood the test of time last year. So will it be the same this year? Waldgeist is on $8.50 in European markets. Talismanic, 34, and Cloth of Stars, 34. As for Waldgeist, he drew 13, and we'll have Pierre-Charles Boudot riding. Finally, and yes, I do mean finally when it comes to the most fancied runners, because there aren't that many, there is Coolmore's Kew Gardens, the 3-year-old English St. Ledger winner that also won the Grand Prix de Paris here at Longchamp. Another in a long line of the Irish stable's Galileo colts. He also drew poorly at 14. But he has the uber-talented Ryan Moore riding for Aidan O'Brien. Together, they took out the Arc 2 years ago at Chantilly with Found, leading a 1-2-3 Ballydoyle sweep. But that has been the exception rather than the rule for O'Brien. Excluding pace-setting rabbits, O'Brien has had 25 horses in 15 runnings of the Arc here at Longchamp. Only one of them, Dylan Thomas in 2007, was a winner. But as O'Brien told William Hill before the St. Ledger, Kew Gardens is a special colt.
He's done everything we've asked him to do so far. I think his only kind of disappointing run was in the Derby. But we've been very happy with him other than that. We're very happy with him in France at the time before last, and very happy with his run in York. So he's a horse that will love a nice bit of ground. He seems to get the trip well. He won in Ascot over the trip, and nice ground you'd like. Obviously, he's a classy horse. Obviously, you wouldn't like extremes. You wouldn't like soft or heavy ground, but hopefully it won't be like that.
As for Moore, he also has just one Arc win here. That was for Sir Michael Stout 8 years ago, riding Workforce. Of course, for so many racegoers coming here to the forest that is actually a part of the 16th arrondissement of Paris, the Bois de Boulogne, it's the first chance for thousands who come to the races only once a year to see the fancy new stand. And one thing that jumps out at you, in addition to the bold cantilevering, which seems to have the stand floating in midair as you approach it from the city, is the word gold. It is gilted, it is gold, it is said to be matching a sunlit panorama of nature. Be that as it may, it is impressive. It's actually smaller than the old grandstand. A lot of it is because the high rollers who will come in here will enjoy their Brie and Sancerre in a much better setting than at the old place. This new stand certainly caters to them. But there's a lot of open ground here, a lot of picnic areas, a lot of chances on a nice day to enjoy this place. It'll be interesting to see how folks react when it's raining. Then there, of course, is the course itself, and there wasn't much money, if any, put into that, at least in terms of refurbishing. It is identical to what it was, and maybe not so good. Back in the northern spring, when this place was reopened after 2 years where the course sat dormant, reviewers such as Gosden and the jockey Christophe Soumillon pointed out the divots, the inconsistency, and the fact that this really was not a top-shelf course. However, William Buick, who rode in the races on the first day of the weekend here at the ARC meeting, said that's a lot better than it was a few months ago.
I think he's been riding the best it's been all year, so I wouldn't have any concerns at that in time, isn't it? You know, it's, I suppose it's like nature, you know, so. But I think overall, you would have to say they've done a good job with it.
Well, while we cornered William, we couldn't help but ask him about Tiberian, the seventh place runner in last year's Melbourne Cup, will be over 100-1 in some of the futures markets for this year's Arc.
Look, he's a long shot, but he's a nice, honest horse who I'm looking forward to riding.
The weather forecast here at Longchamp calls for rain and a top of 16, with the race set to jump from 1:05 Monday morning, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Enable, just once raced in 2018, the firm favorite for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Joe, from Paris, it's back to you.
Thanks, Ron, and that race will be run at around 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. And that's all we've got time for on Talking Horses this week. As we close the show, some sad news confirmed yesterday with the passing of one of our great stallions in Costa del Lago at the age of 25. Coolmore Australia confirmed the news, claiming the son of Fairy King will be remembered as one of the greatest Australian-bred sires of all time. In Costa del Lago, sired 26 individual Group 1 winners worldwide, with his progeny amassing more than $180 million in prize money. His death comes on the heels of the retirement of one of his most favourite sons, Chautauqua, a six-time Group 1 winner. Other champion performers by the stallion included Alinghi, English and racing to win. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.